Okay, so now we are here at the functional design meeting. Hopefully this meeting I'll be doing a little bit less talking than I did last time, because this is when you get to show us what you've been doing individually. The agenda for the meeting, I put it in the shared documents folder. I don't know if that meant that you could see it or not.
No.
Oh well. I'll try and do that for the next meeting as well, so if you check in there, there's a shared project documents folder. That should be in there.
Project documents, yeah.
Project documents.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I'll put it in
okay.
there. Is it best if I send you an email then to let me know it's there?
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. I'll do that next time. I'll act as secretary for this meeting and just take minutes as we go through, and then I'll send them to you after the meeting. The main focus of this meeting is your presentations that you've been preparing during the term. So we'll go through each of them one by one. Then we need to briefly discuss the new project requirements that were sent to us.
The last minute.
I'm sorry about that. But we can see how that affects what you were doing. And then we need to, by the end of the meeting, come to some kind of decision on who our target group's going to be and what the functions of the remote control. That's the main goal, is to come up with those two things, target group and functions of the remote control. And we've got 40 minutes to do that in. So, I would
target groups, what does that mean?
So who it is that we're going to be trying to sell this thing to.
Oh, okay.
So we need to have a fairly defined group that we want to focus on, and then look at the functions of the remote control itself. So with that, I think it's best if I hand over to you. Does anyone have a preference for going first?
I can go first.
Okay, so we need to unplug my laptop and plug in yours. I assume we'll just pull it out. Just before we start, to make it easier, would you three mind emailing me your presentations once you go back, just so that I don't have to scribble everything down.
Mm-hmm. So, with regard to the working design of this remote control, I've identified a few basic components of the remote. From the design, functional design perspective, we can now know what exactly the components are and how they work together with each other. So this is the method that I'll mostly be following in my role. The identification of the components, since I'm dealing only with technical aspects, I would need feedback from the marketing person from the user interface person. We'll then integrate this into the product design at a technical level, and basically update and come to the new design. So it's a cyclical process. Okay, so these were the basic findings from today. The last three bullets have been integrated from the last minute email. I just quickly jotted them down. So basically, as I told you, the identification of how the remote control works and what are the various parts to it. and what are the different processes and how the parts communicate with each other. Okay, so the email said that teletext is now outdated, so we need to do away with that functionality of the remote control. Also, the remote control should be used only for television because incorporating other features makes it more complex. And the reason why teletext is outdated because of internet, availability of internet over television. However, our remote control will only be dealing with the use for television in order to keep things simple. Also, the management wants that our design should be unique. So it should incorporate color and this logo that our company has it as its standard. Okay, so here is a functional overview of the remote control. There is basically an energy source at the heart which feeds into the chip and the user interface. The user interface communicates with the chip. So I'll just go over to the So if this is our energy source, then this is a cell. It communicates, it feeds energy into the chip, which basically finds out how to do everything. There is a user interface here. So when the user presses a button, it feeds into the chip, and the chip then generates a response and takes the response to an infrared terminal, which then, so the output of the chip is an infrared bit code, which is then communicated to the remote site, which has an infrared receiver. There can be a bulb here or something to indicate whether the remote is on or communicating. So these are the essential. So all the functionality of the remote control, whatever new functions that we need to do, make the chip more complicated and bigger. So in my personal preferences, I'm hoping that we can keep the design as simple and clear as possible. This would help us to upgrade our technology at a future point of time. And also, if we can incorporate the latest features in our chip design so that our remote control does not become outdated soon and is compatible with most televisions. That's about it. So, anything that you would like to know, or
do you have any idea about costs at this point?
No, I don't have any idea about what each component costs.
Because that's something we need to consider, I guess, if we're using more advanced technology, it might.
Certainly. So that, we definitely need to operate within our constraints.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I do not have any data, so I just identified the functional components.
That's fine. Are there any more questions, or should we just skip straight to the next one and then we can discuss all the things together?
I think we need like some general discussion of the.
Yeah, I think that will do. Okay, so do you want to?
Yeah, I think since we were discussing some design issues, then
yes, I think that has to come out of here. Yeah, I thought those last minute things were going to fit easy best.
Just
it'll take some time.
It takes a little. Oh, and have you, you need to then also press on
Oh, right.
function F8. So the blue function key at the bottom.
Okay.
And F8.
Okay, so
it'll come up.
Maybe again.
Yeah, it says something now.
Oh.
Just
my computer went blank now.
Okay.
Adjusting. But
There we go.
I don't see anything on my computer now. This is not
If you press function and that again, there's usually three modes. One where it's only here, one where it's only there, and one where it's both. Okay, so
one
more time. Yeah, just wait for a moment, adjusting.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. That's good. Okay, let's start from the beginning. So I'm going to speak about technical functions design and just like some first issues that came up. Okay, so the method I was adopting at this point is not for the whole period of the project, but it's just at this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my method was to look at other remote controls, so mostly just by searching on the web and to see what functionality they used. And then after having got this inspiration and having compared what I found on the web, and just to think about what the user really needs and what the user might desire as additional functionalities. And yeah, and then just to put the main function of the remote control in words.
Mm-hmm.
So the findings were that the main function of the remote control is just sending messages to the television set. So this is quite straightforward. And some of the main functions would be switching on, switching off. Then the user would like to switch the channel, for example, just changing to the next channel to flip through all of the possible channels. Or then the other possibility would be that she might just want to choose one particular channel, so it would need the numbers. And also the volume is very important.
Switching on, off channel. Okay, that's good.
Among the findings, I found that most of the presently available remote controls also include other functionalities in their design, like operating a VCR, but they don't seem to be able to deal with DVD players, but then there are many other functions that could possibly be added to them, but according to the last minute update, we do not want to have all these complicated functions added to our design. So my personal preferences would be to keep the whole remote control small, just like the physical size. And then it must be easy to use, so it must follow some conventions, like whereabouts you find the on-off button and maybe the color tends to be red or something. The must-have buttons would be on-off and then the channel numbers and then the one that allows us to go to the next or the previous channel, and then volume has to be there. But then other functionalities, there could be a menu button and you could change things on the screen then. For example, brightness and similar functions could be just done through the menu. And yeah, the last question I had about whether we wanted to incorporate more functionalities, the answer was already no because of the last minute update.
Mm-hmm.
So for the time being, that's all my questions.
That was the directive that came through from management, but if we had a decent case for that, we really think it's important to include video on DVD, I could get back to them and see if the it's just whether it's worth arguing about.
Yeah, and also it's the question is because there are so many different things that could possibly be included.
Mm-hmm.
Besides video and DVD, there are the video CDs and all that, so
yeah.
It might be problematic to choose between
mm-hmm.
all these possible things.
Okay. Are there any questions for clarification, Marika, before we go on to the next one?
So in the user interface requirements, we have been able to identify what are the basic buttons that we do want. So at this stage, how we go about implementing those buttons we will not identify, or we can completely do away with buttons and have some kind of a fancy user interface or something like that. But is there any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the buttons are still kind of the most easy for the user to use. I mean, and what other options would you have? A little screen or something, but this would be really
and
a lot of learning for the user.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the user just wants to get a result quickly, not spend time giving some rules and imagining. I would think the buttons, but if you have other proposals.
Yeah, I think the costs will also play a big role when we come to know about them. So we can probably wait until we have more knowledge on that.
Yeah.
If costs allow, we can have like an LCD display, and because we do want something fancy and fashionable as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we can discuss that maybe after the next one. Do you want to? Yeah.
Okay.
It's working? Okay.
Excellent. Okay. So, what I have, like where I've got my information from, is a survey where the usability lab observed remote control use with 100 subjects, and then they gave them a questionnaire. So it was all about, you know, how people feel about the look and feel of the remote control, you know, what's the most annoying things about remote controls, and the possibility of speech recognition as the use of the remote control. Although they actually gave me the answers on the LCD screen, so I should have taken that back. Okay, so what they found is that people don't like how current remote controls are. So, you know, definitely you should be looking at something quite different. 75% of users find most remote controls ugly. The other 25% are mid-fashion sense. 80% of users would spend more to get, you know, a nice looking remote control. Current remote controls, they don't match the user behaviour well, as you'll see on the next slide. I don't know what exactly it is, but
it's switching between channels, sort of randomly going through.
Oh right, but you have that little thing that comes up at the bottom and tells you what size. Okay, 50% of users say they only use 10% of the buttons, so that's going back to what, you know, you were saying earlier about, do you need all the buttons on the remote control?
Mm-hmm.
Does this make it look ugly? Okay, cool. So
one of
Well,
them
that's a bit
quietly.
difficult to see. If you explain it to us, it'll be fine.
Okay, well, I can send it to Lee.
Yeah.
What it is it's coding, so it's definitely be more exciting.
I like it. I like it.
Oh, ooh, come
Good.
back. Okay, I'm gonna stop playing with the Lee. Okay, so like what it shows is how much things are used relatively. And what you
Okay.
can clearly see
Yeah.
from that is the thing that's used most is the channel selection. What you can't see is volume selection's a little bit higher than all the others.
That's the next one along, yeah?
Yeah, so what the graph shows is that, you know, power, channel selection, and volume selection are important, and the rest of them, you know, nobody really uses. And so that's the numbers along the top represent their, their importance, you know. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is that? And you know, channel selection, volume selection are absolutely essential, and the power one is not quite so essential apparently, although I don't understand how it could be. And everything else, I think, you know, you can forget about having those buttons on the remote control because they're just not needed and they're not used. You know, this is the bit that the email messed up for me, and that's what I was talking about with the remote. Okay, cool. So, okay, so this is what people find annoying about remote controls. That they get lost, that they're, you know, they're not intuitive, and that they're bad for repetitive strain injury. I think if you're watching enough TV to get repetitive strain injury from, you
A
know,
remote
watching
control.
TV, that's the least of your problems, but you know, it's up there. That, yeah, okay, so, I mean, the RSI thing would be that, like, when you have the computer keyboards and you keep your wrists up, would be something that encourages. You want something with an ergonomic design that encourages good use of remote control and, you know, not straining your wrists watching TV. Yes. Okay, cool. Right, sorry, this is pink because I was copying and pasting the table. I didn't have time to write it out again.
That's all right.
Okay, but that shows how people, whether they would pay more for voice recognition software. So you can see from that, you know, younger people, say ages 35, are quite likely to pay quite a lot more. Well, are quite likely to pay more for voice recognition software. Whereas as people get older, they're a bit more skeptical about it and they're less willing to try it. So clearly voice recognition is something to think about. But you know, I do wonder how well that would work in a TV, you know, tends to be people talking and you know, how are you going to stop it from just flipping channels whilst watching TV? Okay. Cool. Okay, so these are my personal preferences. So we have sleek, stylish, sophisticated, you know, so something that's, you know, a bit cool. You know, functional, so it's useful, but minimalist. There's was an important thing that, you know, people use when, you know, when you're filling up your home, you know, a lot of people fill up their home with bits of crap, basically, you know, and you've got this stuff, and you're just like, what the hell is that? Who is ever going to use it? You know, so things should either be functional or beautiful, or preferably both, so I think we need to aim for both. Okay, then a long battery life, like you were talking about earlier. And, you know, I was thinking that solar power would be quite cool because, you know, your remote control just sits there and you can just sit it in the sunshine and save the environment a bit. And then, like a locator, so, you know, kind of like you have a mobile phone, or not a mobile phone,
Some kind of a ring.
Keys.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
it, you know.
Whistle and
I know, it's
swings at
weird.
you.
My flatmate and I were talking about this on the way into uni this morning, and I was like, I need to get one for everything. So, yeah, so maybe something where you clap and then it beeps, something, a kind of sound that you don't often hear on the TV, you know, because you don't want your remote control beeping every 5 minutes because you'd then deliberately lose it by throwing it out the window or something. So, okay, cool. That's me.
That's you.
Oh, that's
Excellent.
so great.
I'm just going to take So we've got about 10, 15 minutes to discuss.
I think one of the very interesting things that came up in
Cats.
cats. presentation was this issue of like voice recognition being more popular with younger people. So if we need to have a target group, then I think as far as the motto of our company is concerned, if we want to have something sleek and good looking, we are better off targeting a younger audience than people who are comparatively elderly.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing is that it didn't say in the survey thingy
Right.
whether these are the people that will pay more for more stylish and won't people, but I'm assuming he means yes.
But the survey did say that things like voice recognition are more popular with them. So if you want to put in something stylish, then it will certainly be more popular with the younger people as compared to older
Yeah.
people.
Then again, I guess the where it was most popular was the 15 to 25 bracket.
Right.
And I don't know how often they buy in
Right.
televisions.
Well, that's when you get to uni, isn't it?
Yeah, but you don't have much money
Yeah.
generally.
Yeah,
I would
you just get
assume
a television or something if
it's
it's
more
on.
like 25 to 35 when people are really moving out and they've got their first job and they want their nice toys and
Yeah.
But still, if we can go back to that slide and
Oh,
how
I'm
popular
sorry,
is
I
it?
unplugged
Oh,
it.
that's already, if you can just look it up on your computer,
Yeah.
people between 25 to 35, how popular voice
76. This was
it
seventy
was
something, yeah.
still quite popular
Yeah.
amongst them. So even they are 76% is that kind
Yeah,
of.
and I mean I know what you're saying about the 15 to 25-year-olds, but I mean it has been proven that the people with that age group have a higher disposable income because they don't have like I mean, if
Yeah,
you're at
they don't have
university
commitments
you're paying
and
the rent but you don't have a mortgage, you don't have a life insurance policy,
Right.
You
you
don't
don't
buy a car and all
normally
those
have a
things.
car,
Yes.
I'm still
You're
learning
more
to
likely
drive
to
actually,
be
so that just costs more than a car. But yeah. So I mean like it's an age group to target, really.
Yeah. And if we're talking 25 euros as a price, that's not quite affordable even for
No, I mean that's what it's like,
Schoenwerder.
£15
Yeah.
yearly.
Yeah, this is
Actually
not unaffordable, but the problem is whether people need it and whether they do have a TV to
Yeah.
use it for.
Yeah, I don't know many people without TV.
Yeah.
But
I was looking for a TV last year and everyone thought we were fucked.
But the TVs are often kind of
Commodore
someone's old
TVs,
TV
yeah.
that's
This one,
rather
yeah,
a
and
bit
it's
strange
remote
to have
control
a
might not,
fancy
yeah.
remote.
It might not even function with a TV.
Yeah, and well we've got
But
quite
even
expensive
in the case
TVs.
of 25 to 35, it's
Yeah,
quite
we're still
popular, right?
yeah.
So
Or maybe we can just kind of limit.
I think the fact that, 91.2% of 15 to 25-year-olds are saying yes, I would pay more for a voice recognition
Yeah.
remote control would say quite a lot really, so I
Yeah.
mean that and the disposable income I don't think is something to ignore really.
Yeah, but at the same time I think maybe we can just decide to have both of these groups as our
Yeah.
target because actually I mean they are all still
It's not a
young
massive
people.
difference,
Yeah,
yeah.
if we take 15 to 35, but that then
Yeah.
does imply that we should try and incorporate voice recognition. Is that going to have an implication
I
for
was having a general
Yes.
outlook on most like sophisticated features, but voice recognition itself I'm not very sure about because one of the things that Kat pointed out was how do we go about implementing it?
You do
And
have it in your mobile phone then, don't you? Because you have like, I mean every mobile phone
Yeah.
now has like call this person and it calls
Well,
them.
how
Yeah.
frequently do we use it anyway? And
Yeah.
how good is it? Voice recognition softwares are still quite.
With but with a TV remote it's going to be quite limited. If we're just saying the main things people want to do is on,
Yeah.
off, channel
Yeah.
5,
Yeah.
Right.
Louder,
So
that should be relatively simple.
Okay.
You would maybe need a code word, do you know what I mean?
Right.
So like when you say change, so that's been said quite a lot on TV, so maybe like, remote. I mean how often do people say remote on
Yeah.
TV? Although I only watch Charm, so really haven't. But like say just say remote 5, remote 10, remote 49.
Okay. So it seems like a feasible thing to implement
Yeah, but maybe if you want to look into that
personally.
just to check. So if we go for the 15 to 35 age group. And then of course we're going to get anyone who's older than 35 who wants to look young and hip and trendy
Yeah,
and have the
sure.
money, then
Yeah,
they'll still go for the same kind of money.
I think there's a lot of voice recognition. Well, no, the voice recognition, if it works wonderfully, we could possibly do away with all the buttons, but I think this is not really the right moment yet because people are just so used to buttons and it's kind
I
of
think we need
safer,
both.
So we need both.
What
So the voice recognition would be just an extra, it wouldn't really reduce the size of the remote.
What what I was thinking is that there is this separation between what the channels are on TV and how they are numbered on the remote control. If we can do away with that, our product can be really popular in the sense that a person can say, I want to watch ITV1 instead of saying that I want to go on channel number 45. So if something like that can be.
So that if that was in the voice recognition, that
yeah,
would be
but
great.
Then the code word would be even more important because I mean Sky advertise on every channel. You know, so then it would be you'd be watching Charm and then the Sky advert would come on and it would change the Sky.
Sky.
Yeah. And that would be really annoying.
But that's
yeah, but on the other hand, the remote control is close to you. You probably might just speak into it, and the TV would be already farther away, so it might not pick up the things coming from
that.
The
thing that defeats the object of having voice recognition on the remote control. So you have to have the remote control. It's more like if you lost it, it's down the sofa or something. Yeah, it will just change it. You can look for it later.
Yeah, but then the remote control, I think, I mean, the idea is kind of, it's not that it's sitting there on top of the television, because then you could already yell at the television and you wouldn't need the remote control. So the remote control is still something you keep near yourself.
Yeah, I suppose you need to make it. Like, if you have surround sound.
Yeah, and it might become very difficult from a distance for the television to understand what you're saying because of the noise.
Yeah.
The remote control being.
No, but I was just defending the fact why we want to keep the remote control close to us and not to yell at it from the distance.
Yeah.
So another thing that can be used is that there can be a beeper button on the TV, so you can go and press that button and the remote control, wherever it is, it will beep. So.
But then if you're buying the remote separately,
but
you could have something,
yeah.
But if it was something that you could like stick onto the TV or something,
right, yeah.
If you bought it in a two-part pack, so one part attached
to
the TV.
Yeah, because it's quite important that you don't use the thing to locate the remote control.
Well, that's right, but it solves the problem of having different noises.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're going to have to wrap this up. But if we go away with that kind of general specification in mind, we're looking at 15 to 35 year olds, we want it to look simple but still have the buttons so it's easy to use, but only those key buttons, the main ones, the menu one, and then voice recognition included as an option. But that obviously needs a little bit more working out as to whether it's really feasible and some of those problems we were mentioning. What we have to do now is to go back to our little places, complete our questionnaire and some sort of summarisation, which you'll get immediately by email. Send me your presentations so that I can use them to make the minutes. And then we've got a lunch break. And after lunch we go back to our own little stations and have 30 minutes more work. I'll put the minutes in that project documents folder, but I'll send you an email when I do it, so that you know. It should be on your desktop. So on the
Yeah.
So I'll put them there as soon as I've written them.
Can you find it?
Yeah.
And email them round.
I'll send you 1 hour long PowerPoint presentations in there.
Yeah, that would be great.
So we'll just
then you don't have to email them.
But is everyone's called functional requirements?
No, they're all called something slightly different. Technical requirements and something.
So
if you put them in there, we'll all be able to see them and refer to them if we want to. As to where we're going from here, you're going to look at the components concept. Yeah. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'll find out.
You'll be looking at the user interface. Something conceptual, and you're watching trends to see how we go, and surely voice recognition will fall off the map or something. We'll keep our options there. Components.
Sorry, but the next meeting, are we going to have it right after lunch, or shall we prepare our work?
We have, after lunch, we have 30 minutes
to
for
prepare.
Ourselves to prepare.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's fine. But before lunch, we'll just have to complete the questionnaire and some sort of summary. Okay? Right on time. Okay, so I guess we'll see you for lunch.